Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today comes from our gospel reading. You may be seated. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say the word flesh? You're probably thinking of a combination of body parts, such as muscles, blood, tissue. Maybe you're including bones, nerves, and cells. All of this is what we consider essential for daily life. Without our flesh, our organs are exposed to the elements, and we would quickly die. Our flesh is truly an incredible gift from God. With it, we are able to do countless things, such as plant the fields we see outside, or go play basketball or football for our high school. Maybe it's cooking dinner after church today. Flesh even helped build the church that we are sitting in right now. It really is a fascinating aspect of God's creation. However, as wonderful as it is, we don't have to look too far to see how harmful it could be. Turn on your TV, and you'll hear how Christians in the Middle East are being persecuted for their faith, or how doctors are able to kill a precious little baby in the womb. Maybe in our daily lives, we're able to see the physical hurt that we cause to our brother or sister or someone close to us. Maybe it's by the way we dress, where we reveal a little too much flesh, causing eyes around us to wonder. How is it possible that this flesh is able to do so much good and at the same time so much harm? What is the matter with our flesh? Take a look at our gospel text, and you'll quickly learn the answer to this question is sin. Ever since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, man's flesh has been infected with sin. It's why you hurt those around you by what you say and by what you do. Think like a doctor with me for a moment. When you're sick and you go into the doctor's office, what are the two things the doctor will essentially do? After some poking and prodding, making you feel a little uncomfortable, he'll quickly diagnose, hopefully, the problem. The next thing he'll do after that is he'll prescribe to you a remedy for that problem. Like a doctor, we have correctly diagnosed the problem with our flesh as sin. So, what's the correct prescription? Jesus in our gospel text says, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go into hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell." What Jesus is prescribing is that you must cut off a body part in order to keep your flesh from sinning. Cut off a body part. Is he crazy? Who in their right mind would cut off a body part just to stop sinning? I haven't. I still have my hands. Looks like you guys do too. I don't know anyone who would do this. Jesus can't be serious, can he? Let's assume for a second he is serious. What would this look like? Say, for instance, you stole money from a relative. You break the seventh commandment, and for that, we cut off one of your hands. For a while, you know, you're good. You don't sin. But because of your sinful flesh, can't submit to God's law, one evening you slip up by drinking too much beer and getting in a fight at a bar. As you could imagine, with one hand, probably don't do too well. Get the snot beat out of you. End up bloody. But the result of this is that you broke the fifth commandment. And for that, we cut off your other hand. Now, you're left with no hands. And you're thinking, oh, thankfully, I can't commit any more sins. I don't have any hands. Not so fast. Due to your sinful flesh, you still find ways to sin without the use of your hands. So what happens the next time you sin? We cut off your arm, and the next time. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if we cut off a piece of flesh every time you sinned, there would be nothing left of you. That's because your sinful flesh knows nothing but sin. There must be something else that's causing your hand, feet, and eyes to sin. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus says, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness." All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. This is quite the list, isn't it? And rest assured, because of your sinful flesh, you can check off a large number of these. All of these things, as Jesus says, originates in your heart, a piece of flesh, and is ultimately what causes your hands, feet, and eyes to sin. Try as you might, there's nothing you can do of your own accord to change the heart from sinning. Unfortunately, the consequences of these sins will be you'll be thrown into hell for them. Whereas Jesus says, where the worm doesn't die and the fire is not quenched. There must be something that can save us from these sins. The only thing that ultimately can save you from the eternal torment is the Word, the one that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is that Word, the very Son of God, who through a virgin came into the world by taking on human flesh and blood. This is the very same flesh and blood that you and I have, except because He is God, His flesh is perfect, free from all sin. By being sent in the likeness of our sinful flesh, Jesus was able to condemn sin for all time by having his sinless flesh nailed to the cross. This was done in order so that the law which condemns us all would be fulfilled. Because of his death, we are no longer held captive to sin, but are freed from it. As ones who have been redeemed by Christ, your sinful flesh has been removed by the shedding of his precious blood. As the psalmist says, he has created in you a clean heart. And as God states in Ezekiel chapter 36, I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. The heart of stone, which God is referring to, is the same as your sinful flesh. This sinful heart of stone was removed at your baptism. And again, every Sunday when you come here to confess your sins and receive God's word of forgiveness, in its place, God implants in you a heart of flesh, one that is free from all sin. So, what does this mean now that we're free from the bondage of our sinful flesh? It means that our new sinless flesh delights in the law of God, and we now strive to keep it. We want to do everything we can to please Him. That means instead of wanting to physically hurt our brother or sister or relative, we strive to help and encourage them. Instead of dressing in ways to gain attention, we now know that our bodies are a truly wonderful gift from God, and that we strive to respect ourselves and others. This shines new light on our gospel lesson. Previously, with our sinful flesh, we couldn't remove the sin, no matter how much we cut off. Now, when we stumble, which we'll do due to the remnants of that sinful flesh, we metaphorically cut off the hand, foot, or eye that caused us to sin through repentance. It is here we remember the promise of Christ crucified that was placed upon us at the baptismal font, and when we continue on with our lives. Here we praise God for sending his Son into the flesh in order to redeem us. So, let me ask you again, what's the matter with our flesh? Has your answer changed? I hope so. For through Christ, your flesh has been restored to the likeness God had intended. And when the day comes that your heart of flesh stops beating and blood no longer flows through your veins, you can find comfort knowing that your body has been redeemed by Christ. And on the day when God will bring about the new heavens and the new earth, you will be reunited with your body once more, perfect and sinless. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.